Well, we can move on now to your work in India specifically. So you have quite different spheres of Dharma work, at least every day. I'm sure there's lots of overlap.
The same sphere, but different segments within the same sphere.
So different segments within the same sphere. Can you say a little bit about what those segments consist of and also maybe how you see the relationship with each other's work within the same sphere?
Well, the relationship is it's the same sphere within the order.
What was it they say in NBC? Could you say more?
We work in the same order and in the same movement in India, and we work with the same groups of people. Hmm. My main work is these days with the men's ordination team and with the Indian public preceptors, Kula, and just building up an Indian leadership for that, if you put it that way. That's my principal focus while I'm here. I lead retreats for order members, especially trying to bring greater dharmic depth. And I'm working at the moment to bring on a new layer of Kalyanamitras, from whom we're hoping will emerge the next layer of private preceptors. And of course, more effective chairmen, presidents, etc., etc.
And could you say a little bit about Dhammakranti specifically? I've noticed an influx of talks from Dhammakranti retreats to Free Buddhist Audio.
Dhammakranti is now, what do they call it, an open brand. So I think Lok Mitra did a Dhammakranti retreat. I find that things I've done were Dhammakranti events, which are, without my realising it. It was a brand, I think it was a term that Lok Mitra invented.
Mm. 79, yes.
Yes, and we used it for a while for various general retreats that we did, but it's now gone, I think the expression is viral.
It's now gone viral. Subhuti, you're so
up to the minute.
The day that Dhammakranti genuinely goes viral in internet terms would be a wonderful day.
Well, unfortunately, it's a day when it becomes so trivial that it's...
If 400 million people want to watch it, it must be trivial.
Yeah, but it's just a term. You know, these terms come and go. It's a good term. Mm. It's trying to emphasise that while we're doing the usual retreat, meditating, studying, doing communication exercises, puja, etc., it's all in order to change not only ourselves but society.
Well, that's what struck me, because I listened to some of the talks from Dhammakranti, particularly when they first started appearing. I kind of was on my radar that there was this new influx of talks. And what really occurred to me was that there's a real wellspring of inspiration about it, whether it's just the focusing effect of having a particular kind of retreat you're doing or a term for it. It really came across, actually, this energy, even over the internet and over a kind of poor sound recording sometimes. It's buzz and vibe, etc.
Well, you heard Lok Mitra's talk, and that is the predominant emphasis here, even if not executed as satisfactorily as we would like. It is the predominant emphasis, do you know what I mean? That people do feel that they're practicing the Dharma not just for themselves, but for the sake of a better society, even if sometimes it's only lip service to that. Sure. That's what they believe, believe very strongly.
And so, look, you gave a talk about your own work, didn't you, this week, or at least touching on it within a kind of more theoretical framework about the need
to talk about the whole work that we do.
He did,
the whole basis
of
the work we do. And not just here, but
that's
in England
true,
too.
That's true, but he did talk specifically, said the interviewer, clinging to his point. He did talk specifically about Nagaloka and some of the work that goes on there.
In this talk, I just
Right. So, do you want to say a little bit about your angle on the same sphere or an overlapping segment or however we see it?
The basis of my work for many years was Maharashtra. And that was because most of Dr. Ambedkar's followers lived in Maharashtra. There were a few pockets outside until it opened. But then about 20 years ago, all over India, his influence began to spread. And people from the scheduled caste, that is the people who have been called untouchable before, the scheduled caste communities, absolutely everywhere in India, were becoming inspired by him. And when they're inspired by him socially and politically, then they begin to look at Buddhism. Why did he convert to Buddhism? What is the significance from the social point of view? What is the situation from the point of view of human dignity and so on? So we began to find that we're getting requests to go all over India. And we couldn't respond to that. We couldn't set up centres everywhere. We just didn't have the manpower. So we set up this training centre in Nagpur, Nagaloka, with the idea of inviting mainly young Buddhists or followers of Dr. Ambedkar from all over India to come and live with us for a year, sometimes more, and take what they've learned back to their villages and towns and so on. So that's what I've been concentrating on for the last few years. I'm very, very keen to respond to that need as much as I can outside Maharashtra. And I think it's very, you know, it's going to have a very healthy balancing effect on the movement in Maharashtra, in that the order in Maharashtra is largely from one community. And so I think the wider, it's the same principle as West and East, in a sense. When you come together with people from very different backgrounds, that loosens up your own mental conditioning and rigidity and so on. So I think it's very useful for people in Maharashtra, but especially for people from outside who are beginning to get a direction in life and meaning in life. Mm.